Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're here and that you have brought us here, drawn us into this place to be able to receive from you. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword and piercing, even dividing and sunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner, the seer into of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, help us by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, bringing us into all truth, cause us to understand, to comprehend, and what your word says so that we can use it for every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination, causing us to see things we couldn't see without the help of your Holy Spirit. And Satan, I remind you, you're defeated, that you have no right or no part in this service here tonight, that this truth that's going out to these families and to these individuals and to these children and to these teens and to all those that need to hear the word of God will not be hindered by you whatsoever. Yes. We cancel your assignment. We come against all your retaliating forces that would try to come against those that receive the word of God, because you come immediately to steal the word. So we cancel that, because the Bible says greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we trump you right now in Jesus' name until you stop it. We also remind you that you are going to the lake of fire. So we want to remind you so you will be tormented and leave us alone, because you've got your own problems, because you have no salvation. So Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for giving us salvation, life, your Holy Spirit, your help, your favor, your the mind of Christ, and all these things that we have. We'll receive it tonight, and we'll use these things to be able to learn of you in Jesus' name. We call it done. And everybody said amen. Why don't you greet a couple of people around you before you're seated? Let's have a good time tonight, all right? Praise God. Okay, well, I'm going to sit here with my Bible closed, because I'm going to just learn something about this. No, I'll help out, Ms. Shorter.
Okay.
I promise I will.
Well, tonight we're not going to focus on so much of, we're just going to focus on that these are words of his mother, King Lemuel.
Who is Solomon.
Yes, who is Solomon. So they say, okay, and of course we're reading the book of Proverbs, Solomon. Being a king, I think I always like to stress, you know, put an emphasis on king, because sometimes we act like beggars and we need to act like we're a king, small k, because in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it talks about that we are kings before our God. And so we're small k and we are part of royalty. Right. Think about it. We're part of the kingdom of God. And I just believe that we should enjoy it. We should not belittle this, that we're part of the kingdom of God. We're adopted into the family of God. That means a lot to me.
You were selected.
Yeah, we were selected, and we get all the benefits. It's like when I was adopted at the age of 2, my father that adopted me, he was a military man. I received all the benefits that family had, military, you know, the medical and all the things.
Got your own little ID card.
Yeah, I sure did.
I loved all that stuff.
Yeah, every year.
I
think it was every year, I don't know, I can't remember. You get a little ID card.
Yeah, I love that.
And but, you know, I had all the benefits. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand, we're part of the kingdom of God. We're the small k, we're children of the Lord. And we have all these benefits being a part of his family.
That's right.
And so we should really arrest our thoughts of being like we're nobody and we're in poverty. Yeah. And because our Lord is well taken care of, and he's going to take care of his children.
That's right.
But we do have to live by faith. We have to trust him for all this. And so when we do, then God will honor his word. Amen?
Right. Now, I think it's important for us to realize, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we want to act like we have to be so humble, and so we got to be like we're so beat up, and we can't act like we're happy about what God. Well, you know, we are God's kids. We ought to be happy and excited, and just because everybody else is sorry acting around us, we don't have to act sorry with them. We should have the joy of the Lord as our strength. And sometimes we can feel, you know, I saw that also with our kids growing up, because of the fact that we were a two-parent household. We were strong with the things of God, and God's obviously blessing our family. They sort of felt like they had to almost go out and rescue a lot of their friends and and others that they got to know, and it was almost like they felt bad that we were doing so good. You know, and sometimes I think believers can do that. I think some ways America has become like that, that we're trying to be so bad because God has blessed us so much as a nation. And so we want to act like we broke like everybody else. We ain't broke. Even though they've been ripping us off with tariffs all this time, we're still doing well. I'm sort of amazed at all the tariffs we've been paying. You can say what you want about that. That's money. All the tariffs have been paid, and we've still been prospering. So now you can know what can happen if we can switch that around and get the money coming our way instead of putting out the money. Anyhow, I ain't going to get political. Yeah. But I'm just trying to say, it's like you need to own the fact that you're a blessed kid. Mm-hmm. You're just a blessed kid. You're just a kid with good parents. Your father takes care of you. And that's how I was with my kids. You're not going to have the need for anything, not with me as that's your daddy. Right. Now, I may not have nothing, but whatever I got, you're going to get it.
That's right.
Because I'm not going to hold back. And I enjoyed being a good father. Mm-hmm. Say amen, amen, brothers. I can see it in you. You know, we all, men that are real men, love being good fathers. They love taking care of their children.
And
they love providing.
And women love taking care of their children. That's right. Because that's what we're really talking about tonight.
Right.
And these are just practical guidance. And I wrote some things down. Offered to a young king.
Now, that's important too. Mm-hmm. Because God has so many teachings in the Word of God having to do with kings and leaders. It's not a bunch of broke folks. It's not a bunch of beat up folks. It's not. I mean, look at Joseph, who took over as prime minister, really, of Egypt. And here he is, he's Hebrew, but he takes over Egypt. Come on now. Then you got Samuel, who is a leader as well. And then these prophets that are men of God with the power of God, and all these leaders, God's trying to train us. We're not just bumbling along folk. We're just not people just supposed to be just trying to make it. We are somebody special when God get into your life.
So
don't play it off.
That's
don't play
right.
it off. You somebody special.
That's right.
And sometimes we can feel guilty because we're so blessed. Like my kids, a lot of times they felt guilty and they had to be. Our house had to become the Kool-Aid house. And all the kids come sit on the curb in front of our house while my son raid the kitchen and take all the stuff outside and give it to all the neighbors. Because he felt, sometimes I think he felt like he was guilty, but I ain't going to say that because he'd probably want to arm wrestle me later today, which I'm not going to do. Have you seen how big that guy is? That's a big man. Thank God for him. But see, our kids can be like we are in the kingdom, that we sometimes feel like we're so blessed that we feel sorry for people. Now, we should have compassion to help people because we know we're blessed. Now, if you don't know you're blessed, you're not going to help nobody. You're just going to help yourself. But we need to know that we're blessed. Even when you're down and out, even when you're going through, you're still blessed. Even when people don't like you, when things are not going the way you want to, you're still blessed. Even when you just lost the job, so what? You're getting a promotion. God has something better for you. I remember we lost a building, multi-million-dollar building. We was trying to do a lease option. I didn't know much about real estate. Nobody else in the congregation did either. And so, somebody came in front of us and just bought the building out from under us. They lost it too. But anyhow, they bought the building. Another church group bought the building and bought it out from under us. And I felt like, I felt like warmed up over oatmeal or something. I was just like, this ain't right. And I called our pastor, Dr. Frederick K.C. Price, Apostle Price, and I said, this is what happened. I'm expecting him to say, oh, let's cry together, my brother. He said, God has something better for you. I said, it's easy for you to say. You're sitting in a building.
That's the kind of attitude we need to have, because the Lord is our Father, Heavenly Father, and He's going to take care of us. And if we really trust that He will take care of us, then we know that He has something better. Even though we may not see it, but we have to stop looking everything through our own eyes, really, and start looking through the eyes of Jesus. Amen? So here we have a mother, and she's looking at her role as a mother and how important it is. And a role of a mother is very important. We're coming up on Mother's Day, and it's very important.
Let me say,
and so
you
she
have been
was
a wonderful mother.
Thank you.
And grandmother. Come on, thank God. She is
thank
a good example of a mother and grandmother. Some of you, she mothers you. I mean, you know, you're missing your mom, or you've missed your mom, or you just don't feel like, you know, you have your mom with you right now, or maybe your mom is not a godly woman, and you attach yourself to our First Lady here. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we're going to show you scriptures where that should be happening. The older women should be
like
mothers to the younger women. Yep. And I'm telling you, I got some statistics here that I'm going to go over
in
just a few minutes. We need this bad in this country, especially for the Gen Z girls.
Yep.
Because they're more off the rocker than the Gen Z boys are.
So let me establish this 31st Proverbs 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. So once again, his mother has a very important role in his life of helping to shape. And really, father and mothers have this role, but we're talking about a mother right now, that she is taking on this responsibility, and she has an understanding that, hey, I have to shape my son. I have to shape him into the type of person that he should be. And so the Bible says that we are to train up a child in the way they should go. So we have the responsibility to help them to shape their life, get an understanding of life, and in this case, life and leadership, and even the relationship with the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. And so she was establishing some important principles, really, that she was putting in his life, some insights that he needed, and that she knew that it was important for her to give him these insights as she was raising this son, okay?
Right.
And raising a son is different from raising a daughter.
We raised
both. And so so she gave him a guideline. She gave him some tips. She gave him some advice, you can call it. She gave him some counsel. And before we go into that, before we go to the second verse, because it's so powerful, let me give you these scriptures that Pastor Shorter alluded to, because in 1 Timothy 5:2, if we can go there, it just talks about relationships that we should have, the right relationships that we should have in church. And we'll get to verse number 2.
Let's go to verse 1.
But let's go with verse number 1. It says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. So this is talking about how we should have these relationships in the church.
In the church.
So older men, and the Bible speaks of older women, and that consists of basically 60
and over.
So we can establish the fact that older men is about the same thing. So we should exhort them as fathers, and then younger men as brothers. And then go ahead to the next verse.
This is 5:2.
And
now.
Older women as mothers. So you see that relationship, what's going on here? So younger men as brothers, younger women as sisters, and it says older women as mothers. So we should really take on this, and I think we lost a lot of this respect for older people in the church, outside of the church, you know, in our world, and we need to bring that kind of honor back, okay? And it says with all purity. I think that's all. You can go to verse 3, but go to this. Yeah, I think that's it. And then go to Titus 2:4. Then it talks about the role, and we can relate this to the mother that's teaching her son, that's giving him advice, because this is biblical, but this is talking about giving advice to younger women. But it says that they may, speaking of the older women, if you go to the verses before that, you don't have to go to it, but just stay with that verse 4 if you could. But it's talking about older women, okay? So older women, you could say, instead of they, just say older women should admonish the young women to love their husbands.
Okay,
now, I want to give you that word admonish. Can I get that
this.
Definition?
Yeah, let's itemize this stuff. Let's break this down.
Okay.
Because this is where, and I'll just talk about America as we live in America, but this is where world society is missing it.
Yeah.
Because they have taken what God says is best for older women and younger women to do and thrown it out. And this is the result of what we're getting. Now, you got to understand that women in Romans chapter 1, when it has to do with this perversion stuff, are more vulnerable than men are. They are usually the initiators because I believe they're just more emotional. They're more touchy-feely kind of, hurt my feelings kind of thing. I want to feel good, whatever. I say this not in a negative way, but they're called the weaker vessel. And I believe that's only speaking physically. And I believe that there's just some of that that's tied to that. We got to just live up to the fact that there's two genders. There's not 15. There's not 5,000 genders like some idiots are saying all over the place. And they're teaching our kids this. And we have to unteach it. Because show me the genders then. Because just because you took some school and you went to school for 8 years and you think your brain is that big and you know everything. Now, the society's been going on all this time. And then all of a sudden, you're going to come up with this crazy crap. Excuse my language, but I'm sick of it. You're going to come up with this stupid mess because you went to school somewhere and listened to some stinky breath man talk to you. Let me finish. Yeah. Stinky breath man sat up there with a couple of degrees, with a few initials behind his name, and you're going to change all of society. You nuts. Yep. You need to go back to the church, and I'm talking to some of you that are professors and some of you that are politicians. Get your rumps back in the church and stop using the church as a place to be able to get people to vote for you and start going there and hear what God got to say. We don't want to hear what you got to say. Don't come up in here. I ain't playing. Because I'm sick of this. A lot of these politicians are just using the church as a place to get votes. And when that's over, you don't see them. I got to say it, especially the black church. And you black pastors that play this mess with these jokers coming in your church, you're going to have to give an account to God. Because if they're pushing all this nasty stuff, mutilating our children and all this stuff, you're going to have to give an account to God. You didn't hear it now. You didn't hear it. Judgment has come. God will ask you, did you hear that? We got to get this right, folks. I know what it's like to stand outside of heaven and can't get in because I stood outside that Emerald Gate. See, this is what comes up in me. It's compassion for people because I know what it's like to see hell and to be in a coffin looking at the lake of fire. I know what it's like to fall for a day and a half through the bottomless pit. I know what it's like to go into Hades where people that die without God are being held. Living like a grunge life. I know what I'm talking about. God allowed me to see it and kept me alive to tell you about it. So I ain't playing. So you can sit here and laugh at this all you want to. You can call me whatever you want. One thing I have noticed, ain't nobody writing me no stupid letters because you know I'm telling the truth. I am telling the truth. It is the word of God. And don't get mad at me because God could have left me dying and you wouldn't have heard none of this. But apparently God kept me alive to be able to tell you this. I'm serious. We got to stop this mess. What she's about to read, we need to itemize and put it in your family. Because we're not going to play all this old crazy DEI, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, whatever. Not in this church because I got to give an account to God. You get to walk on. An account. What did I do with y'all before I come in? And I'll be doggone if I'm going to stand at that Emerald Gate, which I believe represents the Emerald State. Emerald Gate. I'm not standing out that Emerald Gate and can't get in because I didn't tell you the truth. I will tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. We had court Sunday. So help me God. She was a great witness, too, wasn't she? Just a cute witness. She's a pretty little thing. I have a scripture
that goes along with that.
Okay, good.
So I might as well just deviate, go here. In James 3:1, I'm going to read it out Bible. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher, because this is what you're saying, that you have to be judged at a higher standard. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher, you could say a preacher or whatever, in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. So I just wanted to show you that. That's in James 3:1. I wanted to show you that because when Pastor Shorter says that, you have to understand it's in the Bible that people like us that's teaching you, we're going to be judged on a different, higher level. So if you're not called to do this, don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't jump in this because you think you're going to get some money. Yeah. Don't you do that. You're a fool. You're an idiot. First of all, you ain't going to get no money because God ain't going to bless no mess. Okay, so he will bless your life just like you are, sitting in that seat and going to that job like you're going, just like he'll bless you, whatever you do that you're obedient in.
Well, I would.
That's where the blessings
come. I wouldn't do it.
But if you're not called to the ministry, don't you get in the ministry for some stupid reason, ego or whatever, just to be able to have some title or whatever and then mess people up, and you and them end up going to hell.
Yeah, and it's not that, you know, we're perfect. None of us are, but we really strive to teach you the right counsel of God because we know that we're going to have to stand before God and we're going to have to stand with a different judgment than you all, okay? So the word admonish, because the Bible says, if you could put that scripture back up there, Titus 2:4, that older women are to admonish the young women. That word admonish means to show them their duties and obligations. To also to express warning or disapproval to them, to the women, especially in a gentle manner, and to give friendly, earnest advice encouragement. Mm-hmm. So older women are to do that. They are to teach the younger women. And actually, at the women's meeting, we're talking about that there's different kinds of women. You know, because we think, oh, there's just a godly woman and an evil woman. No, there's all different kinds of women. I didn't say genders.
No.
I said women.
They're still women, okay. But they're different personalities.
Personality traits and stuff. Yeah. That's right. And so anyway, so that's what the word means. And this says, now think about what this is saying, okay? To tell them their obligations, to express warning, disapproval, to give some advice, encouragement. And here it is, to admonish the young women to love their husbands. Okay, so there must be something to that the older women, if younger women can just sit long enough, and that's the problem with, and I guess you can give your stats, but that's the problem in our country. The younger women are not pulling on the older women to teach them how to love their husbands because you can't get taught unless you're around the teaching. So you have to choose that, but that's our responsibility. And I feel that not only by words, but I feel by actions too, that you're teaching the younger women how to love their husbands. So they have to be taught this. How do you love your, what does that look like? Love. You know, and I know one thing that I could put a face on love is that if you look at chapter is 1 Corinthians, I think 13, it gives you a list of what love is.
Right.
And so you take that into that relationship.
Right.
Love is kind. So that means you're kind to your husband. Love is not boastful, you know, or doesn't brag. I mean, it lists a whole thing about love. And so you can take that into say, okay, then that's what I need to do to love. Well, you can go down. I think
I don't know.
I think it starts with verse 10.
Love suffers
see,
long.
See, love suffered long and is kind. I'm telling you, if you're going to be married, then you, and I was thinking about this other day.
Well, that's what I was preaching last Sunday.
You've
got to be long-suffering.
You have to be long-suffering. Love suffers long. That means, it really means that forgiveness have to be on the top of the list.
Right.
And I believe you'll have a better marriage. You'll have a long marriage.
Right.
If you choose to forgive. Okay? And so forgiveness has to be on the top of the list. Love does not envy. You know, we're not competing against each other. So if you're going to compete as a husband and wife, it's just not going to work. So my job, I know what my job is because it's back in Genesis. My job is to help you, and I say this to everybody, this is just truth, is to help you to fulfill the call that you have on your life. I'm here to be a helper, okay, not be a hindrance. Not be a stopper, but to be a helper. Well, that has a face to it too, and we're not going to go into, you know, because this is not a marriage seminar, but you know, we have to look at this love list. So let's go back to Titus.
I can't let you say all that without, you know, as the husband.
Let's go back to Titus,
saying,
though.
No, but husband is saying, okay, now, how does the husband receive this? Because, see, there's no way I could do what I do. No way that I could do it, but this would not be the result. We would not have this church the way that it is if I did not have this woman as a pastor, because a pastor's job is multiple. I mean, you are, and God gives you the grace to do all these things. There are multiplicity of things, building the building, doing the communications, whether it's radio, television, some kind of way you're going to communicate. Helping people, praying for people, going to the hospitals. You can't do it all along by yourself. You have to have, at least I do, I have to have my helper. I need my helper. And so God even knows that we need a helper even if we're not married, because he gave us the Holy Spirit, who is the Paracletos. He is like an attorney walking with you and telling you, don't do that. That's not going to work. Do that. That's good. He is walking alongside us to help us. Now, the one thing that men get in trouble with is that she's not going to help me do something stupid. Not a virtuous
wife. But
woman.
That's helping, though.
Wait a minute. You're not, as a virtuous wife, you can get some brothers saying, well, my wife don't help me do nothing. You ain't doing nothing. If you're doing something, now you need a helper. Now, and I'll just zero it in. If you ain't doing nothing for the Lord, especially, you ain't doing nothing. So that helper is supposed to help you with the Lord, not help me away from the Lord. I would not be here if this lady did not help me through the process. I can't tell you how many times she said, get up, Don. You can't just sit there. Don, and I'm the energizer. Buddy, I don't stop until I got hit with this thing that came and knocked me, you know, backwards for 6.5 years. She kept telling me, get up. I'm like, oh, please leave. I literally sat at home and stared at the wall sometimes for 6 or 8 hours. The same wall. Because I was drugged. Something was put in me that shouldn't have been there, so my mind wasn't where it should have been. It altered my emotions and everything. She kept telling me, get up. Me. Drive the car. I don't want to drive the car. You drive the car. She has never driven the car. I mean, you know, you don't drive. Since we've been in ministry, you've probably driven 50 miles, okay? I drive all the time, okay? But, you know, I was trying to get her all to do all these things. Now, I haven't washed the dishes in probably 50 years either, okay? She does her part, I do my part. There's certain things that work. And, folks, you got to just get this. This is the best way to live. Now, you can live another way. You can live any kind of way you want to. No, God's not going to cry. You can do whatever you want. But he just gives us the best way. This is the best way to live. It's
a better way. Decision.
So you have to, brothers, first of all, get on your mission. Now you need a helper, because you can't do whatever God told you to do. I don't care whatever it is, being, you know, usher in the church, whatever. You can't do what you're supposed to do without your help. I'll say it this way. Even if you're not married, the help of the Holy Spirit. You need help in whatever case you're in. And I just thank God for good help. And then all y'all come and help her to help me to help. We all helping one another. Yeah, we got a lot of help. She's got a lot of help. So that's how that goes. All right, so I want to just make sure I insert that. Because each one of these things, we have to deal with it. Young ladies, you need to submit yourself to a godly woman, not just some old woman. A godly woman that will admonish you, means to correct you. You have to say, hey, listen, you know, correct me. Whatever happened to the days of mentors? Is that gone too? You know, with everything else, the Gen Zers came in, or the millennials came in, and everything went out. Now we're trying to get it all back. They knew everything. And I'm not putting it down. It's just that we go through these generations. Our generation, the boomers, we thought we knew everything. And so we try to change everything. Change the music, change, you know, change everything, change the hairstyle, afros and all this stuff. Don't worry, brothers, it ain't coming back. But anyhow, we try to change everything. And there are these things should not change. They are principles of life. And you can like them or lump them. You don't have to do them. But the best way to live is based in this book. It's just the way it is. And some of us, we have proven that this is the best way, because the way that you've gone, or where we've gone in the past, I've gone crazy. I mean, you know, the way we've gone, it proves that this is right, and sure it wasn't what we did was right, because it just messed us up. Amen. Say amen, everybody. Everybody say amen to that one.
I think we've all tried to live without God at one point in our lives, and so,
or
without the word, and so it didn't work very well. So thank God we're here tonight, amen? So it says we need to admonish the young women, think about it, to love their husbands and to love their children. Mm. So it's not just say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Love in its truest form is an action. So we don't just love in words. The Bible says we should love in deeds.
See, but they're saying that you need, the older women have to, do you really have to train the wives to love their husbands?
Yeah, you do.
Shouldn't they be married because they love each other? Yeah. I'm just saying. But you have to have an older woman say, love your husband.
But I think that that happens, too, in not just in the church. I think in the family setting, too, where the kids will watch and see how the husband is treating the wife and the wife is treating the husband.
Yeah, I love when we kiss. Now the grandkids do it. Ooh.
Yeah, we did it on purpose not too long ago. And they go,
ooh. But they like it. You know, they like it, but they say, ooh, cooties, you know. You're kissing each other. Well, and I say, yeah, we've been married for a long time. I love her, and she loves me. Ooh. Well, ooh, all you want to. I'm staying with this woman.
That's what the kids used to do, too. So to love your children, we're not going to go through. We're going to get back to Proverbs. Go ahead and on. To be discreet, see, to have some modesty, not loud, not telling your business, you know, to, you know, in the streets. And now it's so easy to tell your business on Facebook and Instagram, and you get an argument with your husband and it's on your Facebook. And I mean, that's just terrible. And so so we have to learn not to do that, you know.
You can embarrass your husband. He's got a little ego, okay? Your husband's got some ego. And he don't want his stuff out in the streets. You know, I'm the kind of guy, because I grew up in the media, so I immediately became sort of an introvert. My kids will tell you, don't let anybody come over to the house. I don't want to, blah, 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 blah. Because I'm always in the public, and I'm sort of like, I'm sick of people. I don't want to be people. And then God calls me to the ministry. I'm like, okay. But husbands don't want you embarrassing, putting, and a lot of times when we put out the information on your Facebook, he just ain't going to find that I'm like that. I'm just going, whatever. Then you make up, it's still out there. And they still think it's like, man. And then you try to tell the relatives, it's okay, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Yeah,
and
sure.
You know, we're not talking about something really serious that you're going to need help or you have to, get help or counseling and when it relates to safety issues and stuff, because
right.
that's stuff
right.
that's in the world now.
That's right.
And if it's something to do with safety, I mean, you need to get the help. You need to talk to someone you can trust and get the help. You may have to get out of there or whatever.
Right.
But we're just talking about just being in a marriage. I mean, there's things that, that we do.
And he left his toothpaste cap off again.
His socks is all over the room or whatever. I burnt your toast. And I mean, just things that,
eggs boil too much and they hit the ceiling again.
You know, he forgot to pay the bill or something, or, just things like that.
Didn't change the oil.
Yeah, wouldn't change the oil. And we get our business out there, in the streets, and we just shouldn't do that. Or little disagreements and stuff like that. So we have to be discreet, and in our relationship, in our own, with our own lives, we should, be discreet, chaste. We should have some dignity about ourselves, some modesty about ourselves.
Not all loose. Not all loose.
Yeah. And so these are the things that the older women.
It's a reflection on the husband. You know, you're sitting there, but all loose, and he's standing there gritting his teeth, and you're walking along, and he's.
Well, this is the things that the older women are teaching the younger women, and this is what this king, Lemuel, his mother was trying to teach him on some of this. And she was teaching him in the sense of, this is kind of wife you have to look for. One that's discreet, once we start getting into that, you'll see that. And here's another one. The older women is to teach him how to be a homemaker. And that's in the Bible. That's a Proverbs 31 woman. She takes care of her household. She prepares her house. She cleans her house. I mean, these are, and that's like a curse word.
I know.
Now,
who do you think I am?
You know.
Your maid?
You know, and so.
I thought you were a wife. We clean the house, and so I didn't ask you to change the oil.
Really? And so you have to know your roles in the household and stuff, what you both agree upon. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of that household to make sure your kids are taken care of, your husband's taken care of. And, yeah, sometimes you'll feel like you're a maid or whatever. But I told him, I said, you know, I'm your maid. I'm your chef. I'm your, you know.
Boy, dinner was good last night. We haven't eaten at home in a long time.
I know.
It was slamming. The greens was good. I had some good greens.
It was.
I had no greens like that. I don't care if they came out of a can or what.
We had to eat out a lot. And
so I finally got a home-cooked meal.
Yeah, you finally got one.
Woo!
See, but that's something he wouldn't put on his Facebook. You know,
but
say,
I'll talk about
my wife decided to finally cook dinner.
Finally cooked. See, it's the attitude that you put it out there with. You know, I'm making a joke of it right now, but, you know, and it was good. I mean, you know, so, but I'm not
truth,
saying,
though,
well, because she never cooks it's anymore. That's not it. And let me say this. If it's, because people are different now. Maybe your wife is a diesel mechanic. If she wants to change the oil and you want to wash the dishes, fine. That's your arrangement. I'm not saying the wife has to be the one domesticated in the house and clipping the flowers. And
but
just,
you can.
Works for you in your marriage that you two agree upon.
But you can have roles. Like you vacuum the floor. What? He likes to vacuum the floor.
I like to vacuum the floor.
So, I let him vacuum the floor.
I had a job at JCPenney where I had to vacuum the floor. And what I hated about that job is that they had pins from people trying on shirts all in the carpets. And I hated that. But at my house, I don't have any pins, so I don't mind vacuuming.
So he vacuums the floor. So it's whatever.
I like it. The sound, I start praying, and say, oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. I mean, she's like, you vacuumed that for an hour now, Don.
But mainly, it's just saying to take care of the household, you know. And then it says the older women should be good to teach the younger women to be good.
If they submit to that.
Isn't that something?
If you submit to that. See,
because the Bible
you don't
says,
have to submit to teaching, and that's what happens. Yeah. I couldn't make any of you come here tonight. I mean, you know, I could be still standing up in my office looking out the window and the parking lot's empty. You chose to come to be taught. And see, and this is the thing that we have. We haven't put the value on the older women's teaching, but it is valuable. It will bless the lives of the younger women if it's taught in a biblical way.
Right.
But the problem is a lot of times we teach old fables and old stupid stuff that don't mean nothing. But if you've got a godly woman in your life, especially in your church, you should trust. I mean, you're coming up here listening every week. You should at least trust your leadership that they know what's going on. The Bible says, you know the tree by the fruit it bears. Look at my kids. Are my kids acting a fool? No. They did.
But you know what? I do.
For a while.
Yeah. But I do thank God because, you know, when you teach because it's saying the older women with the teaching the younger women.
Love you. I'm talking to Danae. She's giving me the eyebrows.
No, it's a blessing when you see your daughters raising their children.
Right.
And
in a godly way.
In a godly way. And, you know, and I won't take the credit for everything, but, you know, it's a little bit of, I'm sure my daughters watched me a little bit and took on some of the same things. Is that right? I'm looking at one of my daughters. She said, yeah. She even gave me you remember that picture you gave me? That frame, that picture of you and me next to each other? And then it says something like, I've been watching the whole time or something like that. I forget how it goes. But anyway, but then she took it to another level, to be honest with you. She took it to another level of
Supermom.
Raising her children. Really, she did. She took it to it. And that's what you want your children to do. You want them to improve on what you were able to do.
Right.
Really.
Don't you want your children more prosperous than you are?
Yeah. So
let me tell you, because when you are hurting, need some help, they can help you.
Well, it's like our son. I mean, he's taken a lot of stuff that you've done as a man, and so he's taken, you know, to his own life.
I can't tell you how many times Don will grab something out of my hand and say, Dad, I got it.
Yeah. So, you know,
I mean, I appreciate it. I mean, around here. I mean, you know, I'm getting ready to do something, and I know I shouldn't be going on that ladder or whatever, but he'll grab it and say, hey, Dad, I got that. Or, Dad, I'll take care of that.
And then my spiritual mom, you know, there's a lot of things that I just gleaned from her, just watching her. I mean, I believe that I caught more things by just watching. How do you say that word?
Some
things are caught.
Some things you can only catch.
And I caught
you
so
can't
many.
Be taught them.
I caught,
you got to see it.
Yeah, I caught more than I was able to really just learn from her telling me something, teaching me something. Okay, so, but I wanted to say this because it says that we should teach younger women to be good. And there's a scripture in Isaiah, and I wrote it down, and it says, learn to do good. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn to do good.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's a promise and we'll read it when we get there, in Proverbs 31. It's a promise that woman's supposed to make to her husband, that she will do him good all the days of her life. And that's a promise that a virtuous woman will make to her spouse. And so, but let me finish this. Obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blessed.
You ain't obedient to everybody's husband. I'm serious, because sometimes we feel like brother so-and-so said so-and-so. That ain't what your husband said. See, because men can get jealous because they are kings, rulers.
Now, we're not talking about the word, we're talking about
good, obedient
sort of
to their husbands.
Things.
Don't be going, being more obedient to somebody else's husband. That includes the pastor. If you got a conflict with him, and it's in the word, what you're supposed to do, and that husband say, no, we ain't going. You're going to have to listen to him. I'm sorry. Until God tells you otherwise. And if God tells you, he ain't talking for me, you do what you're supposed to do. You have to be able to guide that, but you have to submit yourself to your husband.
But you submit yourself,
your
the Bible says,
husband.
As unto the Lord. So if your husband is telling you to do something that's evil or not godly, don't have to listen to that. You only listen to things that are godly and in line with the word of God, as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so we should make that very clear. Okay?
Does everybody understand that? Because if it's not as unto the Lord, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, now I'm supposed to listen to you. I'm not supposed to listen. He wants me to smoke dope every Thursday night until midnight. And I don't feel good about that. I want my brain cells. And I don't want the THCs in my body, because they don't know 400 of them. Those drugs, they don't even know what they do. So I don't want to smoke that dope all night until midnight with him just to be a good wife. I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
I ain't fooling with him on that.
And
so,
really,
you're going to have to deal with him.
But once again, being a good wife is being a good wife is not just going along with wrong.
That's right.
See, and that's
neither
what I'm
saying. Neither
is
being a good husband, just
placating
this foolishness.
Right.
You've got to command that household in the things of God.
And being a good wife is...
without anger.
Yeah, and being a good wife sometimes is saying, no, that's not what God is saying in his word.
Okay? Actually, Dr. Betty did that with Dr. Price, remember? He wanted to play baseball every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
He loved playing baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And she,
said, I'm going to church.
She said, I'm going to church.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, you should come and watch me play baseball.
Because they got married, and he started going to church because he wanted to marry her. He wanted to, you know, win her over. And then when they got married, he stopped going to church.
And said, I play baseball on Sundays. I don't go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
She said, well, I'm going to church by myself then.
Yeah. And she did.
He tried to stop her, but she said, you ain't stopping.
And then he got
born
again. He wasn't born again at the time.
Became the pastor.
He got born again and then got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Okay, let's go back to Proverbs 31, verse number 2. What time is it?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, time. Okay, we'll just read this. It says, and you're going to I don't know if you're going to do those stats. Anyway, it says...
Well, the stats... I'm just going to briefly say this.
Okay.
The stats concerning what's going on right now with Gen Zers, and they're studying now the Gen Zers, not the millennials and, you know, the others, but the Gen Zers are really giving some real strange indications from the female side of things right now. They're saying that Gen Zers, the females, are 70% for... They say, or their opinion is for the fact that there are multiplicity of genders. This is what's going on with them. So when you sit down and you want to talk to them about your husband, and you want to talk to them about the household, you want to talk to them about just normal things, Gen Z girls are really being pushed toward, and I don't know where it is. I think a lot of this is coming just out of social media. They're also more, they are 70%, 69%, more toward where the boys are like 53% saying that keeping the household as a woman and being a wife is not even kosher. 69, well, you work with youth and juveniles, and this is what's going on. They really don't believe in what we're teaching.
That's because of all the voices that they're listening to and the influencers, I guess that's what they call.
Well, the voices they're not listening to, which are parents, because the parents are not living this a lot
of
times. That's part of the problem also. They're not getting it at home because your number one place to train your children is in your house. And you're training them where you know it or not. You got them jokers in and out of your house, they're seeing that.
Yeah.
And they're not stupid. And some of the times when you're not around, they're telling people. They're saying, Mom had Freddie over there again last night. And you don't even know the kid comes out, like they ain't said nothing. But they're calling out, they're reaching out. You know, Freddie came by last night about 10:30. I didn't see his car leave until about 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what happened. Can I have my Barbie? Hello? This happens. So they're learning already. I said the saying, it's not a scripture, but some things are taught, some things are caught. They catch more than they are taught. And so you can try to come back and try to teach it to them. They've seen you, and they've already caught you. They caught you in the act. And you're going to try to tell them something else. But they heard you cussing, about your husband or whatever. Talking about stupid stuff about what you're going to do. They heard about your mom and, so you got to realize.
And you're not going
to
be perfect. I mean, there's not perfect parents and stuff, but there's times you have to apologize to your kids and say, I'm sorry.
I
heard that,
right.
Or I did that, or I said that. And that goes a long way because, they're learning how to handle life.
Right.
And life is not perfect, okay?
Right.
And so they have to see you apologize and see you, fall on your face, as it were.
Yeah, and before God.
Before God. They have to see that
they need to see you praying.
Yeah.
They need to see you with your Bible,
not
just
perfect.
Your magazines, your car magazines and stuff. Yeah. They need to see the husband with the Bible actually submitting themselves to God before they're going to submit. Now, I want to go to that scripture real quick, Kathy. I'm being led by the Lord to go to this. Go with me to this Proverbs, and I know, but we'll come back. 22 and 6.
Do we ever get a reader?
Well, yeah. Go ahead, reader. Okay. Proverbs 22 and 6. This is Proverbs 22 and 6. See, it's important for us to be able to get a hold of what God is saying. Because, and see, the gist of the statistics that was in this report that came out, it just came out yesterday. The gist of that is that the girls are less domesticated in their thinking in this Gen Z age bracket than the boys are. The boys are more, you can call it conservative, what do you want to call it, more domesticated in their thinking and family-oriented in their thinking than the girls are. And we're trying to figure out, everybody's trying to figure out with this report saying,
well,
why?
When we grew up, and I know I'm dating myself, you can stand up, you can read it. We used to have home ec classes. And we learned how to sew. We learned how to cook.
But
we
now, you know.
And I don't even think they teach that kind of stuff anymore.
They got welding and diesel.
Yeah. Maybe we should have something like that in a church for the younger women. Hey, if they come, if they would come, that would be something
for
good.
The summer instead of vacation Bible
yeah,
school.
Yeah, we should have something like
you
that.
You know, vacation home ec school.
Yeah. I'll talk to some of the women. We can do something.
Y'all want to do something ahead. Like that? Wouldn't
yeah,
that be fun?
Yeah. I got a lot
and
of
the
sharp women.
The little girls
women.
Can come in here and learn
yeah,
how to be able to, you
we
know.
Can.
We can. You know, get a fake little kitchen, and they learn how to do that. And he's like, you just want them in the kitchen. Oh, come on. Most of the men are chefs. I mean, most of the chefs are men.
Yeah, but it's nothing wrong with learning how to cook. My son could tell you. I taught him. I said, well, you're going to have to eat something, you know, because he decided to go on his own, you know, left the house. I'm going to go get my first apartment. And I said, oh, gosh, why you have to do that? And so... I said, you can stay home as long as you want. You don't have to go out there. And he said, the first thing I cooked, I taught him, at least you can, you won't starve, so let me teach you how to cook spaghetti. Did you ever learn?
No,
oh,
he
okay,
did
good.
Learn. He learned spaghetti.
Okay, go ahead and read that.
Train up a child.
Mm-hmm. In the way he should go.
Okay, stop. You need to know the way he should go before you can train him. And this is the problem. We have parents, they don't have a clue about what we're talking about. But they're parents. They have kids in your school. Their kids know nothing about the principles that we're talking about. These are godly principles. That God is the God of the universe. Do you realize that he's not just God of America or Washington State or New York or Chicago? God is the God of the universe. And what he says is what is. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. Not one jot, which is a punctuation mark, or tittle, which is another punctuation mark. Not one of those will pass away. Not even the commas in God's word that are actually from his word. You got to understand, this is serious stuff. And these are the principles of life. Train up a child in the way they should go. So you got to find out the way they should go. First of all, you should be going that way your own self. And a lot of people, they're not going that way. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yep.
You hypocrite.
That used to be a saying that they would. In our generation.
Oh, yeah.
That was so popular.
Do as I say, not as I do. In other words, I can do what I want to do, but I'm going to tell you what to do, even though I don't do that. And that doesn't work very well. It turns kids into hypocrites because they'll fake like they're doing it until they get out of your house.
Right.
And you don't want to have to deal with that because they're coming back. They're boomeranging back. But now they're coming back with kids, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of stuff that you're going to have to deal with. If you don't raise them right, you're going to have a mess. So when they did leave, when he did say, and she did too. I remember Danae moved out. She came back, though. But Danae moved out, and she moved into this ghetto place and with gunshots and a couple of the walls. I said, girl, I'm not taking none of the junk off the truck.
Yeah, she wanted to.
I didn't take none of the stuff off the truck.
She wanted to. Can we tell that story? Okay.
She wanted
to move out on her own.
I said, where are you moving to?
It's just they all want to move out on their own, right? And I'm saying, why? Everything's free in this house.
Free.
Why do that? But anyway.
Just save your money.
So we didn't know where she was going. She said, oh, I got this place. Oh, my friend and I, we're going to, you know, rent this apartment and stuff. And so we packed all her things. Well, you know, Dad's going to be a good dad, and he's going to help her. Okay, we're going to help you. And then we drove up to this place and saw these bullet holes and this ghetto-looking place and everything. And we were like, and her dad, I'm telling you, you know what he said? I am not taking nothing off this truck.
He said, take it off yourself.
You said,
big
if
old
you
heavy
want
dressers
your stuff,
and stuff.
You
said,
take
it off, girl.
But I am not dropping
and
you off.
And if you don't get it off in the next 20, 30 minutes, I'm driving off.
But guess what?
Nothing came off that truck, and we went home. Put yourself back in the room. She stayed there about another 2 years, and then got married.
She decided to stay. She didn't go that way.
Did we make the right decision? Did we train you right? You better say, yeah, girl. She's not a dumb kid. She's a smart kid.
And it was so cute, too, because the last thing she did, she left her pillow at the house. This is now.
I knew she was coming back
then. Now she's married. No, I'm talking about now she's married.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, the first Yeah, when she finally moved out.
She left something the first time, too.
Yeah, and then she had a reason to come back and get her pillar. So that's a pretty good sign.
But you've got to train. You've got to train. Now, see, people don't like that word, especially the Gen Zers and the millennials. They hate that word, train. I'm not a dog. Listen, God ain't calling you a dog, but there's some things you have to train yourself to do. You have to train yourself how to be able to keep your eyes on the road and not keep looking off. One of the things as pilots, what we do is a lot of times the way that if we're looking over here, we'll start turning over there without knowing it. And you'll find yourself 10 degrees off your course, and you got to do some course corrections, or ATC is going to call you and say, 23577, veer back to 10 degrees to the right, okay? Because you're off, buddy. Because you keep going that way, you're going to be so far off. The further you go, the wider your way away from your destination is. So you don't want to be distracted. You want to be trained. You have to train yourself that if you're going to look over that way, you're not going to lean into that yoke and cause that thing to start going that way, or else you're going to be off course every time, especially if you're flying without air traffic control's help. You look at your compass, you look at your equipment there, and you're saying, man, I'm way off. How did I get there? Because you haven't trained yourself to be able to fly without making yourself go the wrong direction. And it's little course corrections. It's not the big things. It's not yank and bank. It's that you have just slightly gone off long enough to be able to mess you up. And that's what happens with our children. You just let them go on out there and smoke a little dope. They come back smelling like reefer, and you don't say nothing. Then they come back smelling like alcohol until they get a hold of some fentanyl, and they don't come back. And this is what's happening in America. And so what we're trying to do right now is to cut the drugs off. But what I say is, if we didn't have a hunger for the drugs, we wouldn't have to worry about China or Mexico sending the drugs in. We train our children in the way that they're supposed to go. China and Mexico will go broke trying to get that fentanyl into this country. We have to train our children. See, her mother, I guess it was, did something stupid, but had her get drunk at the house. Gave her straight vodka. Was it vodka or bourbon? Anyhow, gave her straight vodka, and she drank it and drank it until she was so drunk. And she was so, it made her sick. She threw up, and it did scare her straight. She never wanted to drink no more.
She was trying to teach me something because she had heard that I had a little drink at a party. And so now she's going to teach me something. And mm-hmm. And she didn't know any better. She wasn't following God at the time. So she was,
Right.
This is the way she thought to do this. But that stuff can kill young people.
Yeah. You could have died.
I was young. Yeah. I was 13, I think I was. And so.
Alcohol poisoning is real.
Yeah.
So thank God. She tried to train her, but she trained her the wrong way. And you have to train. Train is different than teach. You know, if you're going to put training wheels on a bicycle for a child, you literally got to put some wheels that keeps them up. It's not like, stay balanced, Johnny. The old day, stay balanced. He's going to fall over every time until you get those training wheels that forces them to stay balanced. And then they get that feel. You take the training wheels off. They still have that motor skills understanding of how to be able to keep that bicycle centered and balanced because you made them do it. And that's what training is. Training is, you're going to do this. Now, I had a thing called boot camp at my house at 3 years old. You went through boot camp. Now, I'm sick of you just sitting there whining and everything. You think you whine all day long. After boot camp, every one of them went through it. They don't remember, but they went through it because at 3 years old, you know enough to know enough. And so what I would take them, I'd sit them in the living room. I say, you sit there. They'd scream like I had put them in prison. I just say, and it was only about 10 minutes. Sit there. Don't you leave that chair. Or it was the couch. Don't you leave the couch. After a while, they're playing games. They're figuring out, counting their toes. And forgot all about that they're supposed to be sitting there. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was because I trained them. And then they learned how to sit in church because I told them, you got to learn how to just sit. You can't just start throwing your dolls and all this stuff all over the place. You got to be able to listen to your parents. And I ain't hurting you by telling you sit on the couch for 10 minutes. Okay? And some of us, Johnny doesn't like that. I don't think Johnny needs to be trained. Now, if you don't train him, there's a guy that works in this church as one of our security men. He works in the prison. That's the other place we can get him trained. When they're 19, 20, 21, 22. They'll get trained one way or another because they'll put them in cuffs. And they'll march them around. They'll tell them when they're going to eat, when they're going to sleep, when they're going to get up, when they're going to go. You got some time in the yard, go play out in the yard for an hour. You know, and the rest of the time, you know, we rack back. you in the jail. We have to realize that part of the reason why we're seeing these things in our society is because we have allowed this to happen because we are partially responsible. It's not just all the kids' fault. It's not all God's fault. It's not all the parents' fault. And Lord knows the government don't know what to do with your kids. You give your kids over to the government, they may go in as a male and come back as a female. Or thinking they are. Don't get quiet with me. You know you hear this stuff, and it's true. Years ago, we called it mutilation. Now they call it transgenderation, being transgendered. It's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of baloney. And I'm having fun. Are you? I don't know if anybody else is having
fun. I think we need to stop now, right?
Yes, we're done.
Okay, we're done for tonight. So next time we come together, we will move on to verse number 2. We'll get there. We'll get through.
We read
Proverbs
verse number 2,
31.
Didn't we?
No, we didn't.
Let's read it so we can feel like we got
no,
there.
No, because it's too powerful. No. Okay. It's like it's too much.
Did you all receive tonight?
Come on, let's praise the Lord. Straight
sort of, kind of.
We should call this instead of book night. Book night, straight talk.
Yeah, straight night.
Straight talk, Bible straight, I don't know, something.
Something, we'll think about it. Okay.
Anyway.
I hope you did receive tonight. These are very basic things that really a lot of people deal with, but they don't want to deal with them. And we have to know how to deal with them. And maybe you're not married, you don't have kids or anything like that. But these things will come back to you and you'll be able to utilize them perhaps at another time. Or maybe you got relatives, you know, you got nieces and nephews and you want to help them to be able to grow properly and influence them. Yeah. These biblical principles will help in all our areas. Okay?
Well, we are examples as Christians, so we have to remember we're ambassadors.
Right.
Yep. Father, all right, praise the Lord.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to be able to receive this word and to be able to have it in our hearts and to disseminate what we have learned and to be able to grow through that. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that comes because of your word being planted in us. And tonight we give you praise, honor, and glory for the good things that are happening in our lives. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Amen.